Amen. Amen. And he is in the business of changing lives forever. It was never his intention for us to stay in one spot. It was always glory to glory to glory. So first of all, I just wanted to say thank you, first of all, for all of the prayers, all of the support. I was only there 4 weeks, but it felt like a lifetime because of all that the Lord did. But so many of you reached out through Facebook Messenger or attempted to get a text through when the Wi-Fi was working. And just so many prayers, and I felt every single one of those prayers. And then so many of you actually gave towards the trip as well, and I was able to use that for various different things, blessing Bible clubs and things that are going on there. So I just want to thank you. Just know that everything I'm going to share with you today is also a testimony. Oh, speaking of, somebody from Zim is calling me right now. I'll have to call you back later. That's funny. Every single one of the testimonies that I want to share is a testimony of your faithfulness to the Lord as well. I got to be a vessel. I got to be an instrument, but only because of how the Lord has been using you as well. So I just wanted to say that. So a little bit of history. My grandparents were missionaries in Zimbabwe over 50 years ago. They were in their 40s. My grandpa was a pastor of the church. My grandma was a school teacher. When a missionary came and said, "We need help, come and say yes to the Lord." And they gave three qualifications. One, he needed to be a pastor, and they needed to be a pilot because it was in the remote parts of Zimbabwe, and they needed to be a school teacher. Well, my grandfather was a pastor, and he was an airplane mechanic and flown a plane in World War II, and my grandmother was a school teacher. So the Lord was like highlighting, beam light, "I'm calling you." So they said yes to the Lord, and I'm so thankful that they did because their yes unlocked so many other yeses in our family. And so about 4 years ago, my aunt, who grew up there, came to me and said, "I'm rebuilding this clinic. In honor of your grandparents, would you like to come?" And if you know me, I'm like, absolutely, sign me up. And so I went 3 years ago, changed my life, walked some of the very places they served in, and it felt like I had come home. And so I've continued to lean into that. And so I went back last year for about 6 weeks and then got the privilege to go again. And let me tell you, even though it was my third trip, it has rocked me in ways that I have never expected. Before I left for Africa, I attended a conference in Florida with our Foursquare denomination. And while I was there, I felt the Lord, he was just downloading revelation like he's so faithful to do when we get in his presence. And wisdom and direction for my life. And it wasn't just for Africa, but just for my life in general. And how he intends for me and really all of us to live. He said to me, "Release every expectation. Your expectations limit me," is what he said. "You think your expectations are high, I'm higher. And when you come in with these expectations, you're limiting in your faith what I'm going to do. So I need you to let all of them go and let me lead you. Don't just come to me with a plan and consult me with it. Let me make the plan." And for someone who like me, that is really challenging for me to do. I like my plans. I like my spreadsheets. I like my schedules. And when the Lord said, "No, you go with nothing, no expectation," I said, "Okay, who am I to oppose what the Lord is saying?" So I said, "Yes." He said, "Let me lead." And then the word over and over again was this radical simplicity of just listening to the Lord and doing what he said. Don't overcomplicate it other than that. Listen to the Lord and do what he said. Staying completely in step with the Father. And I remember sharing that with the Fowlers before I left. I said, "I'm going in not knowing what I'm going to teach on. I'm not going with anything other than supplies to do some games that they requested. I'm going in with no plan, no expectation, because the Lord told me to." And Tommy looked at me and he said, "You're not going to come back the same." And that was a prophetic word because I'm not the same. So when I got there, I chose that posture. No expectations. Other than I knew that by releasing them, the Lord was going to do exceedingly abundantly above I could ever ask or think. So I chose to listen daily throughout and even moment by moment for what the Lord was saying and how he was directing me. And let me say, I don't think I could have in my natural mind dreamed up what God actually accomplished while I was over there, which is why he said, let go of the expectation. Yesterday at worship practice, Chuck gave this word. If you want to get some fire from the Holy Spirit, come to worship practice. It is so much more than practice. And he gave this word, and he said, "What's in front of us is greater than what's behind us." And I was sitting right there, and that broke me because I'm like, what I just witnessed this last month was already greater than I could have ever imagined. So if what's in front of me is greater, I can't even fathom that. But it is what the Lord wants to do. He is in the business of doing abundantly above all we can ask or think. We have these high things that we're believing and thinking about God, and God is saying today, no, abundantly above even that. Listen to the Lord and do what he says. So before I jump into some scriptures, I want to share with you some testimonies just about what the Lord did. And it was actually really challenging for me to narrow down all that I could talk about, because there was so much that I did and that the Lord accomplished that it's like, how do you package that into a few minutes? I don't know. We're going to try. So one of the things that I got the privilege of doing was doing a lot of kids and youth ministry, which is so, so near and dear to my heart. It's not the season that I'm in right now with our church as much, but man, I'm just waiting for the day where the Lord's like, now's the time. So I had just gotten there, meeting with Pastor Tembo, who was over, really kind of the one who was organizing it all for us. And he is giving me the schedule for the week. I'm like, okay, I got to go to this bakery and buy this thing. And how do I get there? Because GPS is not a thing, you know? And then he says to me, so Wednesday, I'm going to pick you guys up at 7:00. Because it's going to take about 3 hours to get there, and we're going to go to the secondary school's chapel before the primary school. And I was like, so why are we leaving at 7? Because these are after-school Bible clubs. He said, no, because we're going to go to the chapel. And I said, okay, great. What does that mean? Are we just, you know, visiting? I'm assuming you're speaking. And he said, oh, no, you're doing it. And I looked at him. I said, that's okay. Because if you know anything about the culture there, men have their place, women have their place, and they're very defined lines. And you do not typically see women getting up and preaching a sermon. So when I was given that opportunity, I was shocked, first of all, because I was like, normally it's the men in our group that are asked to speak. And then if there's not a man, it's usually the woman who's older than me. And so the fact that I was given this open door, first of all, I was so humbled by the Lord. And then I heard the Lord say, what door I have opened, no man can shut. And I had a choice in that moment. Do I just say yes and walk through this door, knowing that there are young college girls that we're mentoring from Zim with us, opening a door for them? Or do I say no because of my own fear or because of my own insecurity? And so I know enough about the Lord to say yes. And let me tell you, I didn't have anything. When I prepare a sermon, I like to go and look up like the words and the Greek words, and I like to go back to my journal and see what has God said before. I didn't have nothing. I just had this. Not even a study Bible. I had nothing. And the Lord said, the word is enough. The word is enough. And so I sat there, planned out this message. I actually spoke about Paul and Timothy. I listened to the Lord and I said, God, what are you saying? And he said, Timothy, do not let anyone look down on you because you are young. And I knew I was speaking to young people. Anywhere from ages 14 to 22. And so I read about Timothy and I started noticing that Paul was just encouraging him. He was saying, don't disqualify yourself because of your age. But I'm calling you. And if I call you, I'm equipping you. And then he tells them how you live matters. Set an example. So I went into that and I knew that I knew I wasn't just going to preach to the people, the young people. I was preaching to the pastors and the teachers there too. So I turned around and I said to them, in front of you are Timothy's. And you are to be a Paul. The reason why Timothy had a ministry is because Paul saw him and said, there's something on your life. And Paul mentored him. And then the nice thing about having a translator is it forces you to stop and listen to the Lord as you're speaking. And I had Pastor Emmanuel next to me. And man, there was such just a flow in the spirit. It was like where he stopped, I picked up. And I've spoken with translators a few times before, but nothing like that. You could tell the Holy Spirit was there. Well, let me tell you, we pulled up to the school, 750 young people. I have never in my life spoken to a crowd that large. And again, I had a moment of fear. I had a moment of fear, and I was like, no. He said, walk through the door. I'm walking through the door. And as I'm speaking, as he's translating, the Lord said, give an altar call. I'm like, okay. I know that there's a particular way that they do it, and one thing you need to know about, like, cross-cultural missions, you don't just come in and say, we're doing it this way because this is how we do it in the States. No, there's a submission there, and there's an honoring. So I gave the altar call, and I looked to Pastor Emmanuel with that sense of like, okay, now you do what you do. So he began to tell the kids, the Lord is calling you. Don't wait one more day. I went and sat down. 42. of these young people started coming forward. And the way they do it, they don't have them raise their hands. They have them get up out of their seat and walk forward. And then they have them make a confession of faith in front of their peers. And then they shake their hand. It's such a beautiful picture of welcoming the people of God. And young people, I don't care where you live, there is a peer pressure. So the fact that 42 young people, I was shocked. I remember sitting there looking at my aunt being like, what's happening? And she's like, well, he's giving an altar call. I said, I know that. What's going on? I wasn't even emotional about it because I was just in shock about what the Lord did. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later, but there's a picture, I believe, of that event when I'm talking. Yeah. You can't even see all of the kids because there were so many. They were like, it was a pavilion, and they were like this. No microphone. No microphone. We were like, there's these beautiful mountains behind us. I mean, it was gorgeous. And these precious, precious young people, the Lord had a word for. And 42. I mean, I'm never going to get used to that. So after this, Pastor Emmanuel tells me, so we're going to change our schedule. This was the only secondary chapel we're going to do, but not anymore. So our whole schedule changed after this. Every school we went to, they put me in front to preach and to teach the word of God. Many times with very little notice. And I mean, I was humbled. I was humbled by what the Lord did. But I knew it wasn't about me. It was about the fact that he so loved these young people that he just said, I'm just putting you in position. It's not about you. It's about them. It's about them. And again, if the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, this same thing I'm believing for here. Because there is a calling on this next generation. And there's a calling on us to be the Pauls, to see the Timothys and draw them out and put them in position and mentor them. Because that is what the Lord wants to do. So in addition to these chapels where I spoke, I don't even know the final number of how many young people I spoke to. We did these after-school Bible clubs. And I knew about that. That I didn't know about. There's a picture of some of the kids. It's called Living Proof. And it basically means we're living proof of God's work in Zimbabwe. And it's a beautiful thing. We did six of these Bible clubs. And it is an evangelistic ministry. Yes, these are in a Christian school, but it does not mean that they are Christian. It's just whoever the governing authority is. So the headmaster is Christian. But he doesn't even hire his own staff. The government places teachers. So you don't necessarily have Christian teachers in these Christian schools. And these Bible clubs target some of the most needy children in this school, children that most likely would not be able to go to secondary school because they can't afford the school fees. So when they're put in these Living Proof clubs, basically what happens is their U.S. sponsors are paying into an account that's going to pay for their school later on. It's a beautiful thing. And then they're hearing the gospel every single week. Every single week. And man, kids got saved. Kids got saved. So before I share some testimonies of that, I'm really hoping these videos will work because they will bless you. It was really hard to narrow down which videos I wanted to show you. But there's two. There's one of the chapels that I spoke at. It was Humani Primary School. And this particular school is in an animal conservation. These kids see lions. I literally asked them, I said, how many of you see lions? They're like, as if it was a normal, ordinary thing. And then they told me what to do if there was a lion. And I said, no, no, no. If there's a lion, I'm looking at you guys. And so let's go ahead and roll that video if it works. Because it's the one with the kids in the like burgundy. It's like 26 seconds, I think. It's okay. Well, if you want to see it, you can come see me later. These kids dance. They dance before the Lord with all of their might. And it's beautiful. And if you notice, there's this young lady in front. She's leading them. That's not a teacher. That's a student. She's probably in the sixth grade. Leading her classmates to praise the Lord. And you can kind of see in the corner here, this is a drum, another young person on the drum. Like what the Lord is doing among the young people in this country is amazing. Amazing. So at these Living Proof clubs, I got to teach the lesson. And again, I went before the Lord and I said, God, what are you saying? And he said, tell them about Samuel. Tell them that Samuel learned to listen to God's voice. So that's what I did. We're sitting out in everywhere in Africa. And I am telling these kids that God wants to speak to you. get in position to hear him. And then I actually had them do it. I said, close your eyes, listen to the Lord. And man, what these kids were saying, one of them told me, God told me to stop stealing. Another one told me, God says, be like Samuel. I need to keep listening to the Lord every day. Another student who was so worried about his exam fee said, the Lord told me that he's going to give me wisdom and I'm going to do well on my exams. Like, just amazing, amazing revelation from the Lord that these young people were receiving. And then from there, just salvations. There was one, I think it's, we might have a picture of this. It's a woman standing in front of a group of kids. And this was at Chiromo Primary School. And in that particular primary school, 26 young people asked to know the Lord and were then baptized. Like, you just can't get used to that. You just can't get used to that. And again, it had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with the fact that the Lord said, do this. I said, yes, and I did it. He was the one moving on hearts. And then we got to do a Bible club at the village where my grandparents served at Dine, which is so near and dear to my heart. And let me tell y'all, I was not okay that week. I wasn't super vocal about this on social media for those that were following my journey, but I was very, very sick for about a week of time that we were there. I won't go into all of the details, but let's just say I was just not all right. I mean, I had like severe stomach cramping. I was running a fever. I wasn't okay. I reached out to a few people for prayer. Well, there was still ministry that needed to be done. And I was like, the enemy clearly is not happy with what's going on. So he's throwing all the arrows, throwing all the stops. And I'm just, no, like, I'm not going to give in. And so we went down the day before, before we did the DNA Bible Club. And it was rough. It was rough. I didn't sleep at all that night. Didn't sleep at all. I was in such severe pain. And I get up in the morning, and I'm supposed to speak at the primary chapel, and then I'm supposed to speak at the secondary chapel, then supposed to do a Bible club, and then I had a revival that night. And I was like, Lord, I'm gonna need some help. Let me tell you, the minute I got up to speak, all pain gone. Energy restored. Minute I stopped, had to go and lie down. So I like got up, spoke in this primary school about how Jesus loves them and is called, and there's a place for them in the kingdom. And then I went and lied down for 2 hours, did the same thing at the secondary school. All to the point that I started like, well, yeah, I'm just going to keep speaking because he's healing me. And I mean, it was incredible how I saw the Lord do that. There is grace, is a word for you. There is grace for you in the kingdom. That sometimes we don't step forward because there's some kind of barrier in the way. Whether for me it was sickness, for some of that it's finances, for some of you it's family members. And the Lord is saying, but when you simply say yes and just step forward, my grace is so sufficient for you. That he is made strong in our weakness. I have never experienced that level of strength before in the Lord because I was so weak. I had nothing to give. And then it was like a burst of strength would come over me. So Friday night, we start this revival. And again, I'm not okay. And I knew the next morning we had the big children's program that I knew was coming. And we had gone to all these schools. And I'm like, Vuya Manguana, come tomorrow. There's a place for you. I go to bed Friday night. Wake up Saturday morning completely fine. Something broke in the night. And I had been telling people, I think like Wednesday and Thursday, I think I texted Pastor Ben Friday, being like, I'm not okay at all. Something happened. I believe it was the prayers of so many of you who just contended, stood in the gap and said, no, enemy, you don't get to do this. I woke up completely fine. And let me tell you, it's a good thing. Because 500 children came to this revival. I told them to come, and they came. Many of them without parents. Like, it was amazing. They literally were walking to the mission, because you walk everywhere there, and they're carrying their sleeping, like, mats on their heads, and they're carrying their clothing. I'm like, where are their parents? And the pastor's telling me, the parents just sent them because the kids wanted to come. And I'm like, Lord, do that here. Put such a fire in the young people in this generation that they are desiring to come to the house of God and then they save their family members. It's what the Lord wants to do. We have to get in position to create something that engages them, that draws them in. I mean, I was shocked. I didn't have enough candy. I don't have enough anything. We didn't even have enough food. We had paid for all this food. And I watched this line like circle around the church. And I'm like, how are they all going to get fed? And man, they every single one got fed. This like three-legged gallon drum that they make satsa in never ran out. Like, come on. And I'm sitting there being like, is this real? I've read about it. I've heard it. But is this real? And the Lord's like, all it took was a simple yes. All it took was a simple yes. We baptized 35 people at this revival. And I know there's a picture of a baptism in there. They were like, hey, we're going down the river to baptize. And I'm like, what is happening? So we trek down the river, singing the whole way. There's crocodiles in that thing. So I was like, I'm not getting in. There's a certain expectation I wasn't quite willing to let go of yet. 11 of the 35 that were baptized had been saved at the Bible Club the day before. Again, I had an opportunity in that moment. I could have said no because I wasn't okay. And I was like, nope. The Lord said a simple yes. I'm going to give a simple yes. And the fruits of just when we say yes. Let's not overcomplicate it. There is so much that the Lord wants to do. I believe he is pursuing the next generation. That the most important thing of what we're doing as a church is what's going on upstairs right now. And that there is such an openness from the younger generation to hear and receive the gospel. But the Lord is saying, who will be the Pauls? Who will be the Elis? Who, when Samuel came to him, I mean, I told that story 20 times. When Samuel came to him, Eli was the one that said, hey, God's speaking to you. It wasn't Samuel who got that revelation. Samuel thought it was Eli. Eli was the one that said, I know who it is. It's the Lord. So we need the Elis. We need the Pauls who's saying, I will serve the next generation because there is an anointing on them and the enemy is after them. But so is the Lord. So is the Lord. And man, they are precious. I so wish these videos would work. Oh, they would bless you. But I got plenty. I can message them to you. And then the other thing that I got to do in addition to the kids and youth ministry, and this was not on the agenda. This was not on my plan, but it so was the Lord's. When they saw such fruit at that first secondary school, they, again, made some plans. And the weekend before the revival, we had went down the weekend before. I actually think that that's where some of like my physical illness came from. And our purpose in that moment was to go invite people to the revival. So we visited about three churches. So Friday night, we're down at Dine, no electricity, nothing. And they're like, we're going to go to Moanazana Church tomorrow morning. Jen, you're speaking. And at that moment, I was completely overwhelmed because I knew, okay, speaking at a chapel, at a school for young people, okay, I could see why they'd be more open to that. But a church, that's like crossing all kinds of cultural barriers. And I was so overwhelmed because I could see Tine and Prisca, who are our young college girls that we were mentoring. Prisca had never translated before until she translated for me. By the end, she was teaching the lesson. It was amazing. Tine was leading the kids in worship. It was amazing. I just sat back and watched and said, thank you, God, for what you're doing. They're looking at me, and they're like, that doesn't happen. Like, that doesn't happen. And I looked at them. I got really emotional. And I was like, Lord, please don't let me mess it up. Don't let me mess it up. And then I looked at them and I said, this isn't for me. This is for you. These are doors you're going to walk through. And Lord, if I'm going to be the first one to go, like, crushing those doors down, so be it. So be it. So the Lord said, I want you to speak about how I pursue the one. How I'm always after the one. That he leaves the 99 to go after the one. The Philippian jailer. That those chains came off of Paul and Silas, not so that they could be set free, but so the jailer could. That Philip left a thriving ministry in Samaria because there was an Ethiopian who needed to hear the gospel. That the Lord is always after the one. And I'm encouraging these people. So let's go after the one. Let's partner with God. Well, what we then did after that is we literally got up and walked miles where there were no more roads, miles over rock and dust, inviting people to come to this revival. Kids walking up to other people and giving them flyers. I saw pastors preaching the gospel on people's front porches, watching people get saved. We were out for about 3 hours, literally walking house to house to house. And all I could think about was how beautiful are the feet of those who spread the good news. And let me tell you, these people, they were singing the whole way. They had a drum. They were dancing the whole way. And I'm like, this is how it should be. This is how it should be when we bring the kingdom of God, is bring such joy with us. It was amazing. Well, there was one man, and you saw that picture in the beginning, that we came across. And we had wanted to meet him. My grandparents, one of the things that they did is they had a preacher training class. They knew that the need was so great for churches in the area that they trained local pastors to be preachers, because my grandfather couldn't travel church to church. Everything's just too far apart. So we met this man. His name is Saul. He was one of the preachers. He walks up to me immediately, recognizes, because I have very strong genes from that side of the family, recognizes me immediately, and he says to me, "Where's Steve?" He's talking about my dad. My dad spent 4 months there, had never any desire to go back after that, and there's a whole story with that. And so I was able to reach out to my father and say, "Hey, do you remember Saul? Because he remembers you." And what it did in my father was unlock something that had been dormant for years. So what the Lord was doing so much. So anyway, here's Saul. Do we have that picture, Nancy? It's the one, he's wearing a green hat. So that's Saul. He was not following the Lord anymore. His first wife had passed away, and it just hit him really hard. And, like so many people we know about, how can God be good when this tragedy happens in front of me? So wasn't preaching anymore, really wasn't following the Lord. And he was so blessed by our coming that he went and found this letter that my grandfather had written. This has got to be 50 years old. Saying Saul is a preacher of the gospel, and it has my grandfather's signature on it. Like, it was crazy and real. And we're talking to him, and he said, "I need you to come to my village. I want you to meet everybody." I'm like, "All right. That's fine. What's one more village that we're walking to?" Well, this one we actually did drive to, and it was like a bumpy, bumpy, bumpy road. And we get out of the car, and he was like, "I'm going to call him down." And then he looked at me. He's like, "And you're going to preach." And I was like, "Excuse me?" This time it was like every other time I had at least 12 hours notice, maybe 8. This one I had as much time as it took us to walk from the car to where they were. Nothing. And I was like, "Okay, Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what are you saying? Lord, what are you saying?" And if you know me, I don't do well last minute. I don't do well last minute. And the Lord's like, "Prodigal son. Prodigal son." I said, "Okay." So they had these women, they actually threshing cornmeal. I felt like I was living the Old Testament. They were holding up these baskets, and they were holding it up to the wind, and you could see the wind blowing the chaff off of them. And I'm like, "Well, that'll preach." It was amazing. So they're sitting down. Again, I've got a translator, and I think there's a video of that, of just some people, or a picture of that, of some people sitting around, and I'm standing up. If we don't have it, it's okay. And I just started teaching about the prodigal son, saying that there it is, that the Lord is pursuing you, that you might think, it was amazing because you talked about this yesterday in worship, and I was like, "Praise the Lord," that you might think that you're too far away from the Lord. You might think that when you turn back to God, you have to make amends. And the Lord is saying, "No, I'm reaching out to you. I'm coming after you." Again, the Lord was like, give an altar call. No one stood up, which was fine, because I'm not led by fruit. I'm led by what the Lord says. And then I was like, "Okay, please show me that chaff blowing away thing, because that's cool." I'm over there, and I find out later, one of these women went up to Pastor Emmanuel afterwards and gave her life to the Lord. The Lord always goes after the one. But then Saul. Saul came to the revival the next week. Saul has severe scars on his body, because when part of the reason my grandparents had to leave is because there was a war that broke out. They used Saul as target practice. So severe scars, but the Lord spared his life. We're at the revival second night. I had done the kids program all day. I'm exhausted. 500 kids. I was exhausted. And the pastor who spoke at the revival that second night, guess what he preached on? Prodigal son. Exact same word. They give the altar call, and Saul comes forward. And he says, "I was a pastor under the mentoring of Dan Burris, and I've backslided. I've walked away from the Lord." He's like, "But Jen and Donna invited me to come. And now I'm coming back to the Lord, and I'm going to serve him." I was broken. Broken. And I said to the Lord, God, if he was the only one, it 100% would have been worth it. But you and your goodness, not we're not just pursuing him. He was pursuing all of those people who gave their lives to the Lord. So let me tell you, if God can pursue this man in the rural bush of Zimbabwe, don't ever question if God's pursuing you. Don't ever question it. This is revival. It's when people are hungry for the Lord. And all it takes is a simple yes. So before I close, I want to share with you two yeses from Scripture. Because there is a challenge for us and there is a word for us from this. I hope that these testimonies encouraged you that it's the same God. Same God. Same power that crushed the enemy. Same power lives in me, lives in you. Same God. Same God. That's what he wants to do. It's what he always wants to do. He's always after people. He's committed to you because he's committed to the lost. So let's turn over to Exodus chapter 3, verse 5 through 14. I started thinking about people who said yes in Scripture. This first one is Moses. And I love the story of Moses because I see myself in him so much. Moses said yes, but it took him a while. In verse 5, it says, "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals." I think I'm reading a different version, but that's okay. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Verse 6, then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt." Notice he said, "I have seen them. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering." Same God. He sees and he hears. "So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Hittites. And now, verse 9, the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are pressing them. So now go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Notice Moses' response. Who am I? Who am I? And God said, he didn't answer his question. He didn't say who Moses was. He said, "I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Verse 13, Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." I want you to notice a few things. One, this started because Moses got a revelation of the glory of the Lord. And he received a revelation of who God is truly and his heart for people. And then Moses' response. In light of this revelation of the glory and the magnificence and the power of God, Moses says, "Who am I?" How many of us can resonate that? We've had a revelation of the Lord. We've seen God use, or we hear God calling us, and we're like, "Who am I, Lord? Who am I?" And just by saying that, we're already kind of disqualifying ourselves. Who am I? Who am I? And then Moses' response was, "I am. I am." It has nothing to do with you, who you are. It's "I am." It's not never about who we are. It's a matter of who God is. "I am with you." Moses says, "Who am I?" And God said, "I am with you." "Who am I?" "I am. I am." It's not you. I wonder if we would choose to focus less on ourselves and focus less on what we think our weaknesses are and our insecurities are and focus more on who he is, how that would better position us to say yes when he calls. We disqualify ourselves because we look at ourselves, and I am the same way. I was the same way. The Lord did something in me. I am not the same. And then let's look at another yes. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. Similar to what Moses said. "I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which we had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." Couple similar principles with Moses. Isaiah also had a revelation of the glory of God. Moses did, and so did Isaiah. Isaiah saw the Lord in all of his glory. He got a front row seat to the magnificence and power of our God. Isaiah, like Moses, also saw how unworthy he was to be in the presence of God. Isaiah says, "Woe is me." Moses' response was, "Who am I? Who am I that you would call me?" But this is where the story differs. Because then it says the seraphim came and touched his lips and cleansed him, made him new, made him that new creation. But the command was see. See it. See it. See it. The Lord has made us new. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus for those of us who've given our lives to the Lord. But do we see it? Do we see it? Because it wasn't until Isaiah saw that he then said, "Here am I." Our response to the call of the Lord on our life shouldn't be, "Who am I?" It should be, "Here I am." And the difference is, do we see what you are called to? Do you see what you carry? Do you see the magnificence and the power of our God, who is the same miracle-working God? We have to see ourselves in light of that reality. And that's, if I could narrow down the thing that the Lord did in me during over these 4 weeks, is that he turned my "Who am I?" into a "Here am I." When those 42 young people came forward, I told you I was in shock, because I was in shock. It wasn't until we got back to the mission house, hours later, where I began to process and journal about what happened, that I literally got on my knees before the Lord and I said, "Who am I? Who am I that you would use me in this way?" And the Lord said, "It's not about you. It's not about who you are. It's about who I am." And then he said to me, "Do you finally see it? Do you finally see what you carry? Do you finally see this, my spirit that I put inside of you? Are you ready to let the insecurities die? Are you ready to let the need for affirmation from other people die and just finally see it?" And I said to the Lord, like, "Yeah, yeah, I see it. I see it." And then he kept confirming it over and over and over again. And I said to the Lord, "I'm never going back. I'm never going back, because the people that he is pursuing are too important. The kingdom of God is too important. There's people that are broken that need a savior, and they're too important for me to get caught up in my own insecurity." It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." I wonder if we stopped getting distracted by what the enemy is trying to do and stop getting distracted by how we disqualify ourselves and say, "No, I've got the spirit of the living God living in me. And when he says go, I'm going to go." You know, the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. When you see the word therefore, you wonder what it's there for. Because of the response before. Because Jesus has all authority on heaven and on earth. Therefore, we can go because it's Jesus' power that's on the inside of us. And then he says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That this commandment given to every believer to go and make disciples is sandwiched between this promise of all authority is with you and I am with you, so go. But we don't think about the fact that we're literally surrounded by the presence and the power of the Lord when we step out because we get so caught up in ourselves. We keep saying, who am I? Who am I? Woe is me. And the Lord is saying, stop it. Stop it. I'm with you. I'm with you. So what about you? Where is your yes today? You know, Isaiah, when he said, here I am, Lord. He was giving the Lord a blank check. God said, who will go for us? Isaiah didn't even know what go meant at that time. He didn't say, oh, you're going to go and be my mouthpiece and you're going to suffer all this stuff to go and speak my word to these kings who are not living correctly. No, he didn't know any of that. He gave God a blank check. God said, who will go? Here I am. Here I am. I think about Moses. Moses' response was different. His response wasn't that immediate, here I am. He actually continued to say like, well, God, what if they don't listen to me? I don't speak well. But there's an encouragement for us in this because I recognize that we're all in different seasons. I am in a season of my life where I can literally get up and go when the Lord calls. Some of us getting up and go doesn't actually mean that you're physically going to a different location. Go just means that you're positioning yourself that whenever God says to speak or to encourage or to pray, that you're like, I'm not getting in the way of it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But Moses was so caught up in his own insecurity and his own ability that God finally says to him in Exodus chapter 4, after Moses finally said, like, send somebody else. Not me, Lord. Send somebody else. He said, okay, well, what about your brother Aaron? I know he can speak well. He's already on the way to meet you. Even before Moses finally said, no, God, I'm not going to do it, provision for him to accomplish the purpose of God in his life was already on the way. That if you're sitting here and being like, I don't know how this is going to work because of stuff going on in my family, because of my insecurity, the Lord is saying to you today, I've already made a way. Provision is already on the way. Provision is already on the way. Stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at yourself. And if you follow the story of Moses, it took about four plagues before Moses finally stepped into his calling and began to be the one to speak to Pharaoh. So God makes room for both. But he wants you to see what you carry. And partner with him because revival is here. He's looking for a simple yes with no expectations, a blank check. Not a yes that says, well, Lord, only here in this place with these people in this ministry. A yes that says, whatever it is, Lord, however it looks, and for whomever. Because grace and favor follow me, follow you, not because of who you are and your skills, abilities, or talents, but because of who he is. And what you carry isn't for you. The devil tries so hard to distract us from the mission by having us focus far too much on our own shortcomings. The Lord's saying, I have graced you for others. Because I'm so committed to them, so therefore I'm committed to you. Katie Davis Majors, who is a missionary in Uganda, says life was certainly intended to be lived as ongoing ministry, not separate from ministry. That we are called to always be in a position to give just that simple yes to the Lord. However he calls. And let me tell you, when you give God a yes, above and beyond what you could ever ask, think, or imagine. So my prayer for you today is you would let go of fear. You would let go of the weights that are holding on to you and you would position yourself to say, God, I'm going to finally see that I am a son or a daughter of God. I'm going to finally see your spirit that you put on the inside of me. I'm going to finally see that I am called and graced and empowered and have a purpose for my life for no other reason but for the best reason of his kingdom coming to earth. Because he is bringing revival. He's already started. He's already started. You've seen it the last, what, month, these revive series? These revive nights, the Lord is already bringing it. I mean, I've been watching from a distance what's going on at Fire Nest and young people being rocked by the power of God. Revival is here. It's already here. And the Lord is saying, will you just give me a simple yes? Stop trying to figure it out. Just say yes to whatever I'm saying for you to do, and you do it, and get out of your head. Get out of your head and get in the spirit of God that says, I have called you. I have graced you. Can you stand with me? Can we just thank the Lord? Can we thank God for who he is? Lord, you are a powerful, mighty working God. Yes, Lord. Lord, you are a powerful God. Nothing can limit you, Jesus. The same God who spoke creation into existence is the same God who calls dry bones to come to life, who causes life where there used to be death. You are the same God. And Lord, your desire is that the kingdom of heaven would invade earth, God, and you're already doing it. You're already doing it because you love your people and you love the lost and the broken, and you're saying, open the doors that they would come in. I'm drawing them in. Stop getting in your head. Stop getting in your head. They're too important. I have empowered you with the Spirit of God from on high, who equips you and empowers you only because you said yes. Lord, I speak right now into this room that anybody who's holding on to fear or doubt or has disqualified themselves because of past ministry mistakes, you are saying it is a new day. It is a new season, that there is new wine. No more disqualifying yourself. My people are too important. No more. So, Lord, we throw it off. The Bible says to throw off the weight that so easily entangles us, to throw off every wrong way of thinking that goes against the knowledge of God. We take it right now and we throw it off and we say, enemy, you don't get to distract us anymore. That we were left here for the purpose of seeing the kingdom of God come to earth. And as we spend that time with you, Lord, as you strengthen your church, you're equipping us to go to the broken, to go to the hurting, God, to go to the next generation who needs to be led and discipled to come to the knowledge of you, Jesus, because they are the future of this church. And you're saying today, come into alignment with me. Just give a simple yes. Just give a simple yes. So if that resonates with you and you're saying to the Lord, because there is a commissioning here today, and if you're saying, Lord, I'm there, I'm ready to give you a yes, can you just lift your hands to the Lord right now and in your own words just say, here am I. Hear my Lord. Send me. Here I am, ready to listen to your direction, ready to say yes. Here am I. Here am I. And Lord, for those of us in here who are more where Moses sat, where we're like, who am I? Lord, I pray that right now you would confirm your word that provision's already on the way. That all the things we're worried about, all the things that are getting in the way of us fully being able to surrender and say yes to you, you're saying, I've already provided a means of escape. I've already provided a way. It's on the way. It's on the way. It's on the way. Lord, help us see it. See it. Open our eyes. I speak right now in the name of Jesus that your eyes would be open to see what you carry, to see the power of God that is the same power that conquered the grave, to see it flowing on the inside of you, that you are not disqualified. You are not disqualified because of drugs. You are not disqualified because of a divorce. You are not disqualified because of an addiction. You are not disqualified because of prison. You are not disqualified. Nothing can stop the plan of God for your life, because nothing can stop him. He is known as the Hound of Heaven, seeking and pursuing the lost. You are not disqualified. You are not disqualified. Thank you, Lord, that you are empowering us today with a simple yes. Yes.